CliffCentral.com.
All right, we are here. We are live. CliffCentral.com. Day two of quarantine. Captain's log. We're suffering. We're all living in our own houses, which we choose to live in during peacetime. We're having a tough time eating food that we've stockpiled. Everybody's bored already. And we ain't even started the proper lockdown. That only kicks in after tomorrow. Yes, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Hope everybody's okay. So yes, this morning, wow, what a bumper show we have for you. An incredible array of some of our best people, some of our best guests, some of our best co-presenters, some people from five different locations, according to what I can see on my screen right now. That includes none other than Mbulelo Tinta, who's currently in the studio managing things there, along with Mfundo Tladla. And the two of them, you'll be happy to know, are practicing appropriate social distancing over the space of two different rooms in our studios. In Ilovo, Ben Karpinski. Hey, Ben. Nice to talk to you. Yeah, what's going on there, Ben? What's your view like?
I like my apartments. I've got a lovely view over trees, a sunrise, a hotel that's currently being painted and obviously not being used. Uh-huh. So it does feel like the zombie apocalypse right now. It's pretty, but it's lonely.
And Sia Sangweni, who joins us from his apartment, but soon he will be in Durban. Hello, Sia.
Good morning.
Why?
Yeah, that's a decision I took. I really think I'll go mad or being here alone. So rather let me go down to family.
Yeah. See, you have to be alone. That's what's called the lockdown, social distancing. You have to be alone.
No. I've thought about it all. I thought I'd meditate. That's not happening at all. I thought I'd take a leaf out of Oprah's book, but she's banished Stedman to the guest house.
Finally, she gets to do what she's always wanted to do with Stedman.
Stedman's only ever in the guest house.
She went on Instagram and she actually posted a video of her delivering breakfast to him and at the guest house and saying, okay, bye, see you later.
Yeah, she's
so
like,
I'm not going to follow her advice like that.
Fuck. Finally got him out of the house. Now Gail and I can live in peace.
So I'll just decide what's best for me, and that is to go down to Durban. I need to tell you guys the drama of just booking the flight a little later on in the show.
Oh, you're flying? Oh, wow. Okay, that's risky, because I would have thought you'd be driving.
Oh, there was so much admin involved in this, and even just like the screening process. I've never been screened so much, just simply getting an air ticket for like an hour's flight.
Did they need to check that you were actually going there to quarantine yourself and that it was to be with family?
They needed me to answer like, where am I going and how long will I be there and why am I going and who will I be with and where have I been thus far over the past couple of weeks. And then it's just my own paranoia with where will I be seated at the plane, who will I be seated next to. Going there.
In other words, it sounds like when you order something from a restaurant menu. Same process.
Don't make it sound like that. No.
Do you have like masks and the gloves? Are you going to go full Michael Jackson when you travel?
I was actually putting my outfit together, and this is not cultural appropriation, but I look like a ninja.
Oh, really? You've got a whole black outfit with a head to everything. All right.
Coronavirus!
Like from head to toe. I just need, do you think it's too much to ask for black masks?
I saw a really cool video yesterday of a French dude making his own mask. And what you do is you take like a piece of paper toweling and you basically fold it a couple of times. Then you take an elastic band and you staple that to the ends, you know, one elastic band to each end. That's to go over your ears. And then after you've folded it, which is basically like, a concertina formation, essentially. Then when you unfold it, it kind of unfurls around your chin and mouth. And it's a good, if you don't have a mask, it's a good replacement for one. Of course, we know these masks do nothing if you are uninfected. But if you are an infected person, you put one on, it saves the people around you from having to be exposed to your spit.
I came very close to buying a Winnie the Pooh one yesterday.
A Winnie the Pooh mask. Wow, where did you even find such a thing?
I went to some sort of hipster fruit and veg store in Craighall.
Oh, wow.
Thinking back, I should have probably gone for it. But you're so right, Gareth, because that's what you do to protect others from you, not vice versa. People right. don't realize that.
Yeah, well, that people don't care about protecting others from them, or we wouldn't have this problem in the first place, would we?
Okay, good point. Good point.
All right, so let's...
Is it a little cuckoo of me to be more concerned about surfaces?
Yeah, it is, because they don't... surfaces, you're less likely. I listened to a brilliant guy called Dr. Agus talking about this yesterday. You know, it's my job to kind of go through all the bullshit and try to figure out what's fake news and what isn't, so that I don't go on the air and bullshit you about what's going on. But there's a guy called Dr. Agus who's easily one of the most respected people in American medicine, and he said your chances of being infected by contact with an inanimate object, with a surface, is very, very slim, because unless you touch that surface and touch your face immediately, which a lot of people do, let's face it, that's how it's going to be contagious for a lot of people. But most will get it through body contact, shaking hands, touching, kissing. I saw the Belgian minister. Did you guys see this story?
The large woman who ironically is Minister of Health.
Jesus Christ, large is an understatement. She's probably about 810 kilograms. Her name is Health Minister de Blok. De Blok. I mean, de Blok means the huge block.
Yeah, she's a unit.
Apparently, she did not ban single or two-person sexual practices such as masturbation, anal or oral sex, or even bestiality. She's okay with those. But she said, please, can we not have more than two people having sex? So in other words, she's banned three or more people. Belgium's a very open-minded place. So she said, I don't mind you people having a go, but please keep it just to two people and maybe your animal.
Gareth, I think what you're doing is called reading between the lines. I don't think she said your animal.
No, the fact is she wasn't asked about bestiality, but I'm sure she would have said that. The truth is that a 2018 survey revealed more than 78% of Belgian couples openly practice wife swapping, which is a cultural trait that became common practice in the 19th century under the rule of King Leopold I. So now you know.
Huh.
That is not to say that bestiality is not legal in Belgium, just for the record.
But you notice how the Belgians have actually flown under the radar in the whole fruitiness thing. Everyone thinks, the Dutch, the Dutch do this, the Dutch do that, and the Germans are into the bondage. But the Belgians, they're a fruity bunch.
Very. They're saucy as hell, and nobody gives them any credit for it. It's probably because they're quite boring. They're known for chocolates, and they're known for The Hague. I mean, not even The Hague. The Brussels European Union Commission is based in Belgium.
Also beer.
No.
Once went to...
Mbolelo's been in Belgium, right? Let me guess.
I have been in
The Hague.
Speaking of how saucy they are, I once went to the one and only mayonnaise festival I've ever been to. That tells you how exciting they are.
They have a mayonnaise festival?
Mayonnaise festival. I'm telling you, like a carnival. Try and imagine Joburg Day, but mayonnaise stands.
That's horrible.
That happened.
How eventful that is.
Yeah,
guys, I'm so depressed. They cancelled the Rand Easter show.
Oh, shit.
I mean, what am I going to do? That was my highlight weekend of the year. Does anyone even still go to that?
Well, I was very surprised to hear that two people in our office were considering going this year.
Dory and?
No, not even Dory.
Oh.
Wanted to go. We'll ask her about it tomorrow. She wanted to go because, like, she always goes for the rides. And I thought, do you live in 1997? No shade to the Rand Easter show.
Okay. Wow. Well, different strokes.
It's a role to some people.
You were going to say something, Ben?
I've lost all train of thought. Pinky wants to go for the rides. I have no idea she was 12. I thought she was an adult.
If she was in Belgium, she'd be talking about different rides.
She sounds like the Belgian person of the show now.
She'd be Pinky from the block.
Yes, very nice. All right, so let's talk a little bit about everybody's circumstances over the next 21 days, because we haven't even started quarantine, so it's technically the next 22 days, not including today. That's a long time. Ben, are you going to be okay with just you and the cats?
Gareth, I'm not okay, because I've been doing this since last Monday already. So for me, 21 days is just like the second half. And I use a sporting term because there is no sports, and this is not it. It's absolute hell. Like, think about it. We've all got our issues, right? But yeah. There is no sport. There's no sport in the world anymore. That is like my living hell. It's my absolute living hell. And now I'm here, and I love my cats, but what 21 days of further isolation with just these two little fuckers is going to do for me? I'm already talking to them.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking to my dog. I took Carl for a walk yesterday. I've never, ever done that. He was surprised. he looked at me and he's like, are you serious? We're putting on that leash thing? You've never used that.
I could just imagine the look of horror on his face.
Well, I'm
Gareth, I'm really actually, for the first time in my life, because I've always thought like I could survive a zombie apocalypse. I could sit at home. I like my own company, that kind of stuff. But I'm already completely, I'm stretched, because like also the zombie apocalypse, you get out in a year to go kill people.
Yes.
And that sounds like fun after a while. Mm. But now we don't get to do that. We just have to kill time by furious masturbation and Netflix.
Yeah, but I've taken a leaf out of your book in some ways, because you've been helpful. I'm drinking, for example, a glass of hot water with lemon. And I've been doing that from yesterday. I'm going to do it the whole way through. Routine is really important, by the way. It keeps you from going crazy. I also am waking up at exactly the same time I would have woken up for the normal show. I'm showering. I'm shaving. I'm not going to let myself go. I'm doing some exercise straight after the show every morning. So some sit-ups and some push-ups and, calisthenics, body weight kind of stuff.
Fantastic. That's very good.
Yeah, and every afternoon at like 4 o'clock, I'm going for a walk with the dog. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to practice that every single day. And then in between, I'll have little things that I do too. I'm going to make sure lunch is at the same time, because otherwise you do just end up with these huge blocks of time and it can drive you crazy.
But now, are you allowed to go walk around your sort of estate?
Well, for now. But the rule is that, even in places like Israel, where they've been pretty draconian and they've managed to stem the tide of this disease, so I'm thinking the most draconian we'll get is like in Israel or Russia, where they say to you, you can go out for an hour every day. And apparently that's allowed. So you're allowed out for an hour every day. But the key thing is that you are not allowed to be with someone else, especially not someone from your own household. So if you do go out and it's just you and your wife and you two live together, then that's cool. But if you go out and it's someone who you don't know that you meet up in the street and you have a chat, that's not on. So in other words, if you're on your own and you say, no, this is my hour of exercise a day, no one can arrest you for that or, shit on you or say you're being irresponsible.
So I can still go for a run, basically.
You can. You can go for a run. Just be on your own.
Yeah.
And just for some clarification, though, you can be in your garden at any time.
Oh, sure. It's your garden. It's your property. And this is why I'm pleased you're going to Durban, Sia, because you'll have a garden to run around in. And not that you're going to go and do any running, but it's probably a good thing.
Yes, Sia, running.
So that was part of it.
Yeah, Bulelo, that means you don't have to miss your run, but you just can't do 88 kilometers. You can just do a few.
Pop around the corner.
Yeah. But it's useful to know this stuff, because a lot of people are confused about what the rules are. Also, there seems to have been confusion around what midnight on Thursday means. It means you've got the whole day today and the whole day tomorrow to live a fairly normal life. But come midnight, when the clock strikes 12 on Thursday night, Friday morning, it's over. Then that's when lockdown kicks in. I don't know how people are confused. Some people are saying to me, oh, no, but does that mean Friday midnight? No, it means 00:00 on the clock Friday.
Yes.
Right? I don't think that's complicated. A lot of people very confused on social media.
I didn't understand why everyone was confused either.
Yeah, but these are the same people that find washing their hands a revolutionary thing nowadays.
Right. They never washed their hands before this. They're now like, oh, shit, this is actually quite good. I'm not getting as sick.
It's like when brands try to be all like fun and games about the stuff and go, you know, you should really wash your hands, do this. Like, yeah, I know. I'm an adult. That's what I do every fucking day.
Yeah, it's like, do you wipe your ass as well? Are you able to remember to do that after you've taken a dump?
Yeah, does it take a virus from China for us to realize that we shouldn't be doing the basics around human hygiene?
Well, you raised something that I think a lot of people want to talk about today, too. I've noticed I'm saying that like Donald Trump, a lot of people, I'm saying that all the time. So, Ben, what's going on with you and the Chinese at the moment? Because I sense a little bit of anger.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I've been called a racist now because I've said that China should actually pay reparations for this virus. You know, it was so nice to see, like, Johann Rupert's family, the Oppenheimer family, put R1 billion towards this thing. What's China given us?
Well,
and then people are saying, "Yeah, but you can't generalize. That's like racist." It's like, yeah, but it's also geography. And then what I also find interesting about social media right now, you say anything that is remotely similar to what Donald Trump has said or will say, then you are a Trump supporter, and therefore you are just regurgitating his rhetoric, which is also quite odd. Like, no, sometimes you can just look at something and then see it and then call it.
Look, if people weren't eating strange mammals, exotic strange mammals, anywhere in the world, we wouldn't have this outbreak. You know, these diseases, these coronaviruses, from what I understand, is they're a direct result of cross-species. You know, there are diseases that parrots get, there are diseases that cats get. Avian flu was a bird virus. You know, swine flu is a pig virus. That sounds particularly horrible, by the way. but this one, they assume, might have come from a bat. That's the best guess that the virologists can make on this one. But it doesn't matter exactly where it came from. These supposed wet markets, which is also a disgusting term, that they have in China, they keep a whole lot of different animals in very close proximity and in bad hygienic conditions, which is like a breeding ground for shit and for horrible stuff to come out. Bacteria, viruses, God alone knows what goes on in there. It's just not sanitary. And
I tell you what, they'll do it again.
Yeah, they've already predicted, you know, and that Dory showed me this documentary the other day called, I can't even remember what it is. I think it's called
Pandemic.
Pandemic, that's it. And in this, there is a biologist who travels to Vietnam and China, and he monitors these markets in the south of China where this thing supposedly broke out. And he says in this thing, which is a documentary that was made about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, he predicts coronavirus coming along.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not something that surprised the world and, oh, China didn't know. And
coronavirus!
Right, coronavirus. It just happens. And it happens because humans behave stupidly in places like that. Now, if that was all, I'd say, sure, you can't be, you know, you can't be unkind. People have cultural practices that are maybe not considered normal, like polygamy and all the rest of it. But in this case, what made it worse was that the Chinese Communist government, which is an evil government, there's no two ways about it. This government went about this by trying to hide the outbreak.
Exactly.
They tried to actively prevent people inside China, good people. Let me be clear. Good Chinese people, for those people who like to throw around the word racist, good Chinese people, including doctors, were trying to get the word out that there is this outbreak, that there is a certain new disease on the block, and it is doing a lot of people a lot of harm. Well, you know what the Chinese government did, right? They shut those people down. They silenced them. They locked them into their apartments. In many cases, these people just disappeared. So let's stop bullshitting each other, please, because all of this, if we'd had a couple of months more warning, like early December, apparently the Chinese government were well aware of what was going on. So let's stop with all this, oh, this is a world problem, the whole world is to blame, it's because all of us are being punished for our consumerism, it's the fault of the markets, or it's Donald Trump, or it's Cyril Ramaphosa. It's not. This can be laid squarely at the feet of the Chinese government. I'm with you, Ben. And if people are going to call you a racist, then I am too.
But not that I would ever accept it, but those barbaric practices are because of overpopulation and ignorance, all that kind of stuff. Well, but people are actual outright lying.
Right. And people are desperate for protein too. So they'll eat pretty much anything they can get their hands on, because nutrition is a big problem in parts of especially rural China. So let's be fair and look at this as holistically as we can. If you don't want to understand the situation, of course you're going to go around calling other people names. If you do want to understand the situation, it requires you to sometimes realize that certain practices are stupid and barbaric and backward, and other practices are acceptable in a modern, integrated, globalized world. Let's not fuck around.
I think if really that is the case, the least can do is now set proper regulation against these wet markets, or make an active way to curb them.
Well, you would hope. But as Ben says, there's almost a case to be made for the Chinese to pay reparations to the rest of the world for having made this everyone's problem, because there isn't a country in the world right now that isn't affected by this, right? I mean, if I look at the dashboard, which I keep bringing up, and now it's everyone's problem. You know, the new dashboard says 424,049 confirmed cases. That's confirmed ones. And out of the countries infected, remember when it was 140? It's now 184 out of 195 countries. And you bet you those last few countries will get infected too.
Oh, but Gareth, I mean, I don't want to go over dramatic, but back when a small German guy with a terrible hairstyle, even worse moustache, really fucked things up for Europe, what did Germany do after that? They paid reparations, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But now this country, and again, call me what you want, has created an absolute, for 21 days, we are literally sitting at home doing fuck all, and our economies are fucked, everything. That is a huge disaster.
Well, I heard a very interesting piece of information yesterday that essentially economists and health workers are at polar opposites on what to do during this epidemic. The health workers, doctors, medical practitioners, virologists, people who, epidemiologists, who are the ones who we should really be listening to. These people are all saying, stay at home, stay away from other people. The most important thing we could do is save lives by keeping away from each other, practicing social distancing, and not allowing this virus to spread. On the exact opposite end, and that's why these two are not overlapping in terms of their idea of how to fix things. On the other end, we've got the economists who are saying, well, you can stay at home. We can shut down the world economy for a whole month or more. But everyone who's going to lose their job is going to be permanently poor for a period after that. That people are going to lose their savings. That families won't be able to feed their children, which is going to plunge them into poverty. And we're talking about all over the world. America is staring down the face of a 20% unemployment at the end of this if it carries on for too long. Now, the costs of that economically, the long tail of that is far more devastating than the deaths. I mean, we've got a total number of deaths in the world, recorded deaths at the moment, 18,901 people. And the economists are saying, rightly so, to have 18,000 people killed by this thing is not worth losing the trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars that we're going to lose, and jobs and livelihoods and security that people are going to lose in the wake of this thing. So actually, the economists are saying, who cares how many people die? We should carry on as usual. Those who die are going to die, but we need to keep the economies of the world alive. And the health workers are saying exactly the opposite.
Well, having said all of this, these are the very same economists and industrialists who told us, if you pay your workers a living wage, everything will crash. They paid their people a living wage. The world is better than ever. So I don't know if we should always defer to them, because...
No, we know you. We know you're a big old commie, so... You would move in with a communist government in China immediately. You'd probably be patrolling the wet markets, saying, "No, this is fine."
Well, when I travel, people call me Xi Jinping. Actually,
yeah, right. I knew it.
Yeah, but Gareth, it's a very interesting point, because essentially they're both right. The one side works with people, so they care about that. The other side works with numbers, so they care about that. It's, but then again, it's the fascinating thing about current life is that we are so overexposed in many ways to both sides, the emotion and the business side of things. So which one do you go for?
Well, it's interesting. People are splitting down those sides, and there's a personality difference between people. You know, you get those, what they used to call left brain and right brain people. If you do the more complex personality tests, the Myers-Briggs one, and then you get the other one too. All of these things separate people along people who use their heads and people who follow their hearts. Neither are right all the time, because people who use their heads all the time think they're always right. But the fact is they can't connect with other people as well, and they can't manage situations with empathy. And the people who have only heart to apply don't use their fucking brains and end up doing dumb stuff like carrying on as if nothing's wrong or panicking completely. So you've got these two dichotomies of human behavior, which are not coming together anytime soon. And I hate to say that we, as a race, that we're split. You know, the human race down cultural, gender, racial, national, or ethnic divides. I think the biggest divide in the world is between people who use their heads more exclusively than they use their hearts, and people who follow their hearts more than they use their heads. Those are the two kinds of people you get in the world if we're going to divide people up. And I think both do essentially a huge amount of harm by not listening to the other side.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, we got that tirade out of the way.
You want to get... That is very deep.
Sure. All right. Well, Sia, are you wearing pants this morning, Sia?
Oh, no. No, I'm not.
What are you in a pair of boxers?
How did we get to this point? Wearing an old...
Oh, no.
A dressing gown.
It's outrageous.
I'm so thankful that the listeners can't actually see what I just saw. He's in like... Sia, what hotel did you like robe from? Because that doesn't look like a...
It's a nice robe.
It's one of my robes, thank you very much.
Has it got an insignia of yourself on there?
Yeah. Kevin monogrammed. Oh, <Jesus.
laughs> that was a coincidence.
I just thought I should be really comfortable, so I'm only wearing that and socks this morning.
All right, just before we get to the headlines, because we've got to do that in a hurry. Sorry, Sia, your fashion discussion can carry on later.
My fashion updates is very serious.
Yeah, I mean, Oki is saying quite rightly, more people will die because of the financial implications of this than will die from the disease. And I think that's now becoming clear. So in other words, we should pivot a little more towards the economists then. I swear I heard a Tinder notification. I wonder, maybe Ben? Ben, do you have Tinder on at the moment? There's no point, right? Ben? Oh, I think he's gone mute.
Oh.
Does anyone else have... No one else has Tinder on at the moment. There is no reason to have Tinder on right now, right? Stupid idea. Have you got Tinder on at the moment, Ben?
No, so I deleted Tinder. It was just terrible. And up here, it's just, let's be honest, it's not very aesthetically pleasing. And then the last girl I actually spoke to was like, okay, well, maybe I'll see you, but I might not have data the next time we talk. And I just thought, don't need this in my life, really. I do not need this.
Oh, what does that mean?
Okay.
It's a bit... Point.
Don't have data pre-corona, they're not going to have it during corona.
The audience is split half and half on agreeing with Ben and I. Vessel saying that I agree with you guys, the Chinese virus is extremely disruptive, they have to own up, for heaven's sake. Facts speak louder than words. Today, Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Hua Chunying said that in new media, that the U.S. federal government officials formally acknowledged carriers of zero crown virus number zero came from a virus leaker who had a closed military base. Well, you see, this is the Chinese now trying to say, well, it's the American military's fault. And that's why Donald Trump started scratching out the word corona and changing it to Chinese, because he's like, fuck you guys. You're going to blame our military for something that's definitely your fault and that you lied about. So anyway, we'll have to watch this and see. I'm going to work, says somebody else. Yeah, if you're in essential services, that's Ruth. If you're in essential services, you've got to go to work. I mean, my dad supplies hygiene products and medical stuff. I suppose he's got to go to work, even though, again, he's in the risk group because he's older now and he's a smoker and all that stuff. Someone should tell the government to shut down Tinder and Grindr. Who the hell wants the government to have control of Tinder and Grindr, Dr. LZ? Hell no.
But also at the same time, who really wants to be with someone you don't really know at this time?
So the other theory is that now you're going to get contacts for post-corona.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. In sales, you'd call it a pipeline. You need to create a pipeline.
Yeah, so they've made this cool pipeline.
Sean has...
Although I don't imagine there's much conversation on Grindr. Grindr's more about a geolocation hookup, whereas Tinder people still talk.
Do you think they talk?
I think if you're on Grindr, stages 1, 2, and 3 of, like, I don't know, courtship around the window.
Straight to fourth base.
Sean says, I see the Democrats in the U.S. are blocking COVID-19 funding unless their demands are met, i.e. the Green New Deal and a whole lot of identitarian stuff, like, for example, that you have an equal number of women and men in the workplace, or you have an equal number of Native Americans, African Americans, such nonsense. So they're actually blocking COVID-19 funding. I thought this pandemic, says Sean, would be the end of Trump, but once again, the fucking Democrats just can't help themselves. Well, that's so fascinating, because I actually saw a report just yesterday, which is a poll, and you know that a lot of these polls you can't take seriously, but this looks like one which you should take seriously. Yeah?
Don't take seriously either.
Well, here, so the new Gallup poll is the Democrats' worst nightmare. Gallup are pretty well respected. Americans are rallying behind President Trump. 49% overall job approval, which is actually up, believe it or not, 5 points from where he was before the coronavirus outbreak. 43% approval among independents, which is 8 points up. And a 13% approval among Democrats, which is +6. So even Democrats are starting to move towards Trump. The approval of Trump's handling of the coronavirus pandemic, 60% of Americans approve of it, 60% of independents, and 27% of Democrats. And what do they say about Bernie and Joe? Zero. They're not interested in what they have to say. So even in
Bernie and Joe... Bernie and Joe are about... If someone says coronavirus new, then they'll die.
Shame.
Them are not in great health, either of them. All right, let's get into some headlines, shall we? A couple of things you need to know this morning. First of all, from EWN, Minister of Human Settlements, Water and Sanitation, Lindiwe Sisulu, said the following. She went to a briefing, and she said 2,000 sites in mostly rural and drought-stricken areas will be supplied with water amid the coronavirus epidemic in the country. Now, if only the government had, for the last 25 years, laid on water or thought of a plan to supply the people of this country who vote for the ANC with the things that those people were hoping they would get when they voted for the ANC, we wouldn't have to draft in emergency provisions like this now. Sisulu provided details. It's like she's suddenly, oh, shit, oh, all those poor people in 2,000 different parts of South Africa that have never had running water. Doesn't this drive you crazy?
No, it's time to wake up to it.
Honestly, doesn't this make you mad? This shows you how much government suddenly cares. Like, I'm being told by people who are supportive of government, who think that Cyril's trying to do the best job he can. I'm being told by them that I must you know, throw in with the government, and we've all got to stand together. And I get that. There's a solidarity that we need to show at this point. But Jesus Christ, can they at least start doing something ahead of the curve, just for once? And I'm not just talking about the lockdown. I'm saying that the reason that Lindiwe Sisulu now has to announce these 2,000 sites are going to be provided with water is because the ANC's done absolutely zero for them in 25 years. It's unbelievable.
I feel no shame at this point in saying we just got a new client who specializes around the world in helping cities become smarter and more resilient, and we will be working with them. So, folks, when Corona ends, the lockdown, we are going to have an unbelievable series on just what could and should have been done, and it's happening right now in the world. ANC should have started 25 years ago.
Yeah, and they should have just drafted in the people in the private sector who actually know what they're doing. in Durban, Sia, you'll be happy to know the National Funeral Practitioners Association said that families would no longer be able to wash or touch the bodies of their deceased loved ones. The association, which consists of 540 funeral parlors from the country's nine provinces, said they were going to contain the spread of coronavirus by preventing people from touching and washing the bodies of their dead. Which makes sense.
And, you know, this is a big thing for a lot of traditional people. It's like the final goodbye to their loved one, and they have to go and they wash the corpse.
Yeah.
Freaks me out still a little.
Well, you see, again, certain cultural practices are going to have to be thrown away at this point. Anybody shaking hands from here on in is going to be looked at suspiciously, so that's going to have to go. And I'm afraid if you wash the body of your dead, or you touch them after they're dead, you should also have to give that up. It's just too bad if that's your cultural practice. Yeah. Wah, you'll have to stop doing it unless you want to die. And if you want to die, guess what? The cultural practice is going to go without your permission.
So guys, like going forward, are we okay with handshakes basically being like gone forever and like kissing people on the cheek? Is that gone forever? Because I'm actually oddly okay with this. I've come to realize this.
Yeah, I think those are finished. Those days are over. After this, I know people will behave the same way.
What are the Italians going to do? I mean, the amount of kissing they do.
Well, that's why they're fucking dying like they are, aren't they?
Probably.
It's actually a very good point. A friend of mine had a theory. It's like, why is it that Japan has zero, like, so few deaths because, you know, they bow and they're all that kind of stuff, whereas the Italians, who are, like, basically tongue-kissing each other just to say hello, why are they all so infected? So maybe there's truth in that.
Well, I'm also an elitist airhead, so I've always done air kisses. I'll survive.
That's true, Sia. You won't get corona.
Sia, the problem is, like, a straight guy can't do an air kiss. It's just, it would never fly.
Coronavirus!
Ben, please leave a charge there. I feel like you can start that trend.
Coronavirus!
I was like, but hey.
Stay away from the coronavirus.
All right,
all right, then the African Farmers Association of South Africa said that it remained to be seen what effect South Africa's lockdown will have on exports. Food production will continue, as the farming and agricultural sector is exempted from the 21-day lockdown. So if you see farm workers, they are exempted. If you see them working, you go, ah, oh, shame, the poor farm workers. Don't worry, all the farm owners and the farm businesses are going to have to make sure that they look after those people. But essentially, farms are going to have to keep working. The association spokesperson in Western Cape, Ismail Murtala, said they will impose some stringent regulations to fight the spread of COVID-19, but the answer at the moment lies with exports. I think the jury is still out in terms of what the export potential would be. Are there cancellations on the horizon? Will foreign ports be able to accept our goods? Will foreign markets have the capability to take South African fruit and veg? And you know, we supply a huge number of countries all over the world. So this is worth thinking about. It's not just food in your supermarket or in your local spaza shop. It's also people internationally who rely on South African food. You buy South African grapes all over the world, and not just those, but many other things. Our citrus products are world renowned. So let's take a look at that. And then according to Togo Didiza, you know what I love, and I saw this ministerial briefing yesterday, is all that the ANC does, it just cycles people around. There are people who've been in the government of South Africa for 20 years. They've just been moving from one portfolio to the next portfolio to the next portfolio to the next portfolio. One minute they're the Minister of Health. The next minute they're the Minister of Human Settlements. The next minute they're the Minister of International Affairs. And they don't necessarily know anything about their portfolios, but it's all about being friends with the ANC. So Togo Didiza, who's been around for years too, and is now the Minister of, what is she? Agriculture, Land Reform, and Rural Development. So she's also got a share in those 2,000 places that don't have water. She said yesterday that panic-stricken South Africans should not worry. The country will not run out of food supplies because of government's lockdown. Didiza was addressing an interministerial briefing on Tuesday about the latest developments in the fight against the pandemic. This follows Cyril Ramaphosa's declaration of a nationwide lockdown from midnight on Thursday. Do you want to hear what she has to say? Here's what she said.
I appeal to the public, as I've already indicated, that we are self-sufficient at the moment, and therefore there is no need to embark on panic buying, as the President has indicated, and Mr. Mkhize has also responded to some of the questions that have been asked here.
All right. So she says, don't panic. South Africans can still purchase their favorite food items and other essential staples like maize and rice during the 21-day lockdown. All right. Any questions on that one?
Togo Didiza has served as Minister of Public Works, Agriculture and Land Affairs back in 1999 to 2006. And then she's also been the Deputy Minister of Agriculture back in 1994 to 1999.
Mm-hmm. And now she's back in the portfolio of agriculture. So she's at least held down mostly the same portfolios.
But she's moved is probably her parking bay at Lutuli House.
Yeah, she's probably just, all she's swapped is one parking bay to the left, then she went to the right, then she went to the left again. So now you know how it works. Just get into the ANC, everybody, then we can all be rich. And then the other news, which I think might be interesting to a lot of us, is that Bob Hewitt, convicted rapist Bob Hewitt, has been granted parole. So you may be on lockdown, but he no longer is.
No, he should be given coronavirus and fire ants in his balls. That's what he should be given.
Like Harvey Weinstein.
How could he be given anything other than just like a slap in the face with a giant fist?
Well, let's remember that the reason he was sent to jail was he was sentenced 6 years ago to prison after he was convicted of raping and sexually assaulting three youths he was coaching 20 years ago. The former Grand Slam champion was jailed in September 2016. He was expected to leave prison on the 24th of April after serving over 3 years of his six-year sentence. So he's basically in for the quarantine, but after that he'll be out. So when we're all free, he's free as well. Correctional Services Department's Singabakho Nkomalo said the parole board reached a decision to place Mr. Hewitt on parole. There are certain conditions attached, and he will have to comply with those. In some ways, I think he is like our Harvey Weinstein, right?
But I think the certain conditions should be that he has to wear a certain hat everywhere he goes. And while wearing that hat, you're allowed to slap him. So yeah. It should be like a purple velvet sort of hat. And he can only leave the house if he wears that. And that's the hat of a pedophile.
With
throw things at him.
With what?
I hear there's been quite a...
With like rapist written on the front of it or something?
Yeah, a massive R at the very least.
Okay.
There's been quite a racket about all of this.
Bulele, you are the new Gord.
All right. Well, speaking of which, Gord will be joining us later. He'll be on at 7. We're trying to space everybody out because I want to find out. And you know what Gord's like. If we had him on now with Ben and Bulele and Sia and I wouldn't get a word in edgewise. So we got Gord later on, and then Rich Mulholland also. So it's going to be a really busy show this morning. By the way, we'll be interviewing really interesting people from all over the world over the next couple of days too. So some fresh content. I recorded an interview last night with, because I've now got a studio in my house, you see. I interviewed a guy called Maj Touré, who's from a group called Black Guns Matter in the US. Very interesting dude who's got some really, really interesting things to say about black people owning guns. And it might be more relevant in South Africa than it is even in the US. So you might want to listen to that when we're ready to broadcast that interview. Message from, who's this from here? Let me just check. Woody says, I'm in essential services and will be working. However, I'm one of the few who will be working from home today. So you're in essential services, but you can work from home. You know, it's silly that it needs to be said, but it's not a holiday, right? Ben, you've got your own business.
Yeah, I've got stuff to do. Trying to keep my own business.
Yeah, we're all trying to keep our heads above water. I'm so worried about friends of mine who are in travel and tourism because that's just it's a done deal. I don't know that we'll ever be doing as much travel and tourism during the next 10 years that we did before this coronavirus outbreak. People are going to curtail their traveling if they can afford it, and most people won't be able to afford it from here on in. So it's going to hit really hard, and the long tail of this is terrible. So if you're in, you know, flights, cruises, accommodation, hospitality, those things are going to be knocked sideways. The idea of traveling the world, you can just put away for a little while, I'm afraid. It's not going to happen.
So that means travel vloggers are now dead. Is that what you're saying, Gareth?
I'm talking about YouTube travel bloggers and people who spent their lives asking other people for free stuff on the internet because they had followers are going to have to actually find jobs where they make a real value contribution to the economy. Ha! Who knew?
What are they going to do? What?
Masturbate furiously, like Ben already said.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much what they're doing.
Ben, what are your
anyway.
Plans? Are you, Ben, are you being productive in the next 21 days? Are you going to take up a new activity? What are you going to do?
So my, yeah, basically my goal is try not to masturbate too much because I don't think that's good for you. Difficult. I'm trying to do a free, freestand handstand. So in 21 days time, I'll be able to do just literally drop and do a handstand. That's one of my goals. I'm genuinely worried about myself. Like, I've become so used to having all these amazing options in my life. You know, like, I like my life. And now this whole sort of thing, it's a, like, yesterday, it made me realize, like, if I want to go out and just say, for example, meet girls, there's a month process that's just going to be zero now. I'll have zero contact with another human being for a month.
Mm-hmm. And astronauts are the ones who you need to ask for advice on this because they're used to that. And astronauts are actually saying, in fact, here's a teacher in China who's written an interesting thing that I thought maybe you'd like to hear. she says, we're just finishing our 7th week of e-learning, 7 weeks of being mainly housebound, 7 weeks of uncertainty. Now, that's longer than our 21-day lockdown, but you don't know. Ours might last as long. Sure. We are healthy, we are happy, and we are humbled. We're allowed to move around freely now with a green QR code that we show when our temperature is taken. You get your temperature taken everywhere, and it's just become part of the routine. Most restaurants and shopping centers are now open, and life is coming back to our city. Well, that's good news. And this is, by the way, it's not fake news. This is a real eyewitness account of what's been going down there. As we watch the rest of the world begin their time inside, here are some of my reflections on the last 7 weeks. So take down some notes, everybody. Number one, accept that you have no control over the situation. Let go of any thoughts of trying to plan too much for the next month or two. Things change so fast. Don't be angry and annoyed at the system. Anxiety goes down and you make the best of the situation, whatever that might be for you. Accept that this is what it is and things will get easier. So first of all, acceptance, you know, like someone who's lost a loved one has to deal with acceptance. Number two, try not to listen to, read, or watch too much of the media. It will drive you crazy. There is such a thing as too much. So in other words, she's saying...
Very good point.
Just listen to this show. Because if you have on the TV news and you've got government telling you, you better do this and you better do that, and you've got people shouting about how they're going to go into lockdown and these are their plans. And, you know, there's so much on social media too, that you actually need to be very wary of what's going on and choose carefully what you want to listen to and what you want to watch. Number three, what are you laughing at?
Did you just throw something at Carl because he's eating his arsehole?
No, I threw something at Carl because he was snoring and it's driving me crazy. You can hear that? Can you hear it or not? All right, number three. I forgot that you can see me. Number three, the sense of community I have felt during this time is incredible. I could choose who I wanted to spend my energy on, who I wanted to call, message, and connect with, and I found the quality of my relationships has actually improved. That's interesting. Number four, appreciate the enforced downtime. When do you ever have time like this? I will miss it when we go back to the fast-paced speed of the real world. And we've discussed this so many times on the show, too, that living in the modern world, you actually don't have time. Like, I'm appreciating my immediate surroundings a whole lot more. I've always loved being in my house, but I've suddenly realized I've got a really great place to live. And I'm enjoying using my kitchen. I'm enjoying using my shower. I'm enjoying using basic stuff that I've often taken for granted. So maybe she's got a point.
Be careful what you wish for, I guess.
Yeah.
Because so many people have been saying, oh, you know, Jan just started off. Everything is so busy. There's so much going on. Well, now you have close to a month.
Right. Time goes fast. I still haven't picked up the ukulele I plan to learn, and there are box sets of TV shows that I haven't watched yet. Number six, as a teacher, the relationships I have built with my students have only continued to grow. I've loved seeing how independent they are, filming themselves to respond to tasks while also learning essential life skills like balance, risk-taking, and problem-solving. And even we as adults are still learning these things. Number 7, you learn to appreciate the little things. Sunshine through the window, flowers blossoming, and being able to enjoy a coffee in a cafe. Because we take those things so much for granted now. Even just going to the shops, look at how people are panic buying, and how going to the shops now is going to be like a survival expedition. Before, you would just walk in, grab a trolley, fill it up, go to the counter, pay, and go home. And you'd think, oh, I'm so glad I got that done. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it's like a hard reset that we will start appreciating things.
And she says, to those beginning the journey, you will get through it. Listen to what you're told, follow the rules, and look out for each other. There is light at the end of the tunnel. Isn't that nice?
She's very like open-minded and focused and rational with this. Full disclosure, I'm not there yet.
No.
Maybe in 5 days' time, I'll get there.
I mentioned yesterday that every time I hear the word coronavirus, I hear it in Cardi B's voice. And someone sent me a picture of like Homer Simpson with his head open, and then inside his head is this Cardi B. And the caption is, every time I get a sniffle or a scratch in my throat, this is what I hear in my head.
Coronavirus! Coronavirus!
That's right, coronavirus! So, you know, that's and also
the panic in her voice then. Yeah,
definitely in her voice. And someone sent me a video from Umtata because they're not taking it seriously in Umtata. Can I just play the sound for you quickly so you can hear what's going on? So people are partying in Umtata. Corona. Corona. Well, those mongrels are going to die.
Oh, and here's an update on the video you and Sispumi were referencing yesterday.
At Ushaka Marine World, yeah?
World. It now turns out that was a music video being filmed.
But people they were singing Corona.
Yes, by the great and infamous Babes Wodumo and Mambinja.
Well, they should also, you know, if we lost Babes Wodumo in this thing, it wouldn't be the end of the world. Only one I'm worried about is our good friend, and you know who I'm talking about, Skolopat. I don't want her to do something silly.
I wonder where
she's on the front line.
Yes,
she's
really
on the front
is.
Line as a nurse. We should check up on her.
So Babes and Mambinja are releasing this new song on Friday. It's called Corona.
Aye.
And part of the lyrics that they've shared on social media so far is Corona, we have no time for you, go back.
Oh. All right, well,
revolutionary stuff.
I feel sorry for those people who filmed the music video and are likely to get Corona from each other and die. That's so unnecessary.
And Alcia's going to get it.
Yeah, well. Okay,
excuse me? How did I get looped up in that?
Yeah, and Bulelo, how does he get it?
Well, he's going to Durban, and those lunatics were in Durban.
Believe
right,
you
one
me.
One plus one is two.
Believe Tavo, you me when I say this.
Yeah?
I was sort of making fun of Naomi Campbell when I brought up what she was wearing at the airport. I now think
look like that.
She was ahead of her time.
Tabo says on the messages this morning, and by the way, you can always get hold of us on 0797482090. Tabo says, Pornhub Premium is free for the next 30 days for everyone, not just Italy. Isn't that nice?
Wonderful.
Isn't
yeah, but guys, you got to think though. Once you go Pornhub Premium, like, what's your next step in life?
Yeah, I'm worried.
I know it sounds so enticing, but then where do you go from there?
I'm worried that if we all go on to Pornhub, because a lot of people will, and they'll fill it up, and the bandwidth will be squeezed, and Pornhub will be under huge pressure to make sure that their servers are strong. You know. I don't want to put them in jeopardy. If we lose them, we've lost all our contact with anything sexual for 21 days.
Are you using this opportunity to say you're not a fan of pixelated fisting?
Ben the man!
Think about Cliff. He's like, I'm so purist. Cliff's a purist, guys. I appreciate that.
Oh, man.
And
someone
did you purposefully use certain words there that are so innuendo filled. You know, if we fill it up and we squeeze
yeah.
it.
Yes, all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we need to be subtle on this show. I'm going to use euphemisms. Apparently, Kelly for Mark agrees with you, Ben. Bob does not deserve to be let out. That's Bob Hewitt. But his life will never be the same. He's going to suffer. Everyone now knows him as that pedo guy. He will be shunned as he should be.
But he must also wear a hat.
Yes. All right. Absolutely. Message that was circulating on social media. So again, I can't guarantee the veracity of this, but some 3,776 people have died so far in Lombardy in Italy out of a total of 6,000. The statistics failed to represent the real toll on a city called Bergamo in Italy and the surrounding region, because there are certainly many elderly people who died at home without it having been possible to take them to hospital. These people are not included in the official statistics. No tests have been done on them either before or after death. Isn't that a scary thought? Old people living on their own that they didn't even go and test.
Shucks.
Yeah.
And also to a message that we received yesterday, I can't remember who it was from, but they were talking about the funding situation and how it must be the small business funding. Yes. Yeah. And how you must be 51% black owned.
Yeah, apparently that's fake news. The Department of Small Business actually corrected that. And I think we corrected it on the show yesterday as well. So as soon as it came out, we put out a warning that that was fake news. There's also like a whole lot of vehicle restrictions that were circulating. And you can usually tell the bullshit news because it looks like it's been made on a Ronio machine from the 1990s and then photographed. So it just looks really crap. Like if the letters aren't even clear, if the print looks like runny ink, you can usually disregard it straight away. So there's a lot of really rubbish stuff going around, and don't fall for all of it. And please don't pass it on unless you know for sure it's real. Otherwise, you're just adding to the stupid. All right, Ben, we're going to let you go. Thank you so much for joining us, man. It's good to check in with you. And if you get bored during the rest of your quarantine, which I'm sure you will, let us know.
Yeah, guys, like I said, I'm minus one day and I'm already struggling. Yeah. So I'd be great to get to you again.
Stay strong, Ben. Thank you very much.
Dovidzenya, Ben.
What does that mean?
Bolelo. It's something travel related, isn't it?
It's good. It's see you later in Polish.
Oh. Okay, well, Ben doesn't speak Polish, so that doesn't help.
Well Googled.
No, already knew that, Ben.
All right, thank you, everybody. That's it for Ben for this morning, but we are going to have Gord coming on in a little while, and we're going to be joined by Rich Mulholland, which is very exciting. Just before we get to that, though, we're launching something which I think will be quite helpful. COVID-19, of course, affecting the whole world. And as you know, the situation appears to be getting more intense here in South Africa. There are a lot of uncertainties, especially for people about employment. Now, we're worried about how this pandemic is going to affect the economy, businesses, and individuals in such changeable times. And we've done something unprecedented. We actually managed to contact the guys from Flaxman's Attorneys, who we've spoken to before on cliffcentral.com. They're a really terrific firm of people. Some of the best lawyers in the country work at Flaxman's. And we've put together a brand new four-part series, which is called Influx. You know our friend Gary Hertzberg, who used to host Laws of Life and has been a part of the Cliff Central family from the get-go. Well, Gary is actually a lawyer, and he is going to speak to various attorneys from Flaxman's about how businesses can face the threat of shutting down, the rights and obligations of you as an employer or an employee, how to navigate money issues like debt obligations and school fees, and the pandemic's impact on existing and future contracts. So this is worth listening to. Influx, which is now on cliffcentral.com, on our app, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can find it under the Laws of Life, but we'll also put it on our main page. You'll probably need to hear this. We've spoken to people like Jack Pahlane and to Lionel Dos Passos and to Lisa Ann King and Colin Strime. I mean, these are people who are just the absolute best in the business when it comes to things like, and there are a lot of businesses that will be facing, you know, liquidations, business rescue. We thought it was just SAA, but because of this coronavirus thing, a lot of businesses are going to be looking down the barrel of business rescue. Colin Strime is undoubtedly one of the most expert people in the world when it comes to this. You do not want to miss Influx, a new series on cliffcentral.com, and part of our commitment to keep bringing you relevant, useful information during this crisis, not just keep you company every morning, which we try to do to the best of our abilities too. Gordlaw is coming up and plenty more. Cliffcentral.com, live from very many different locations across South Africa this morning. Sia Sangweni, Mbulelo Tintam, Fundo Tladla, me, Ben Karpinski, Gord Laws, Rich Mulholland, and that's just today. Every day there'll be a new selection of people. Tomorrow, Canton Pillay joins us from Plettenberg Bay, believe it or not, where he and his family are riding out the storm. So stick around for all the things you need to hear and more. CliffCentral.com